Begin reading in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, and I'm going to read down to, maybe verse 10. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, this morning, as we have read Matthew chapter 10, the first part, we see in that chapter where you gave power to these apostles. Lord, we don't have that kind of power today. We cannot heal the leper. We cannot go to the hospital and empty all the rooms of the sick people. But these apostles could. And it was proof that they were sent by you and that they had authority from you. Lord, today we don't have miracles to prove that authority, but we do have the Bible. And I pray that folks here would understand how important the Bible is, that the Bible is powerful. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The things accomplished today with the Bible will be just as powerful as the things that these apostles could accomplish by casting out demons. Lord, today I ask you to help the folks here to just have a few moments of undisturbed, uninterrupted ability to hear what I have to say, more importantly, what you have to say from the Bible. And God, I pray you'd bless us as we endeavor to preach it. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The sending of the 12 is one of the two times that Jesus sent people out into Israel to preach the gospel. Later on, there's a sending of 70. But I can just tell you right now, I'm glad to know that's not the only two times God sent people to anybody. When I was a little boy, I used to go to a church in Carlsbad, New Mexico. It was called Bethel Baptist Church. The pastor of that church had led my father to the Lord. He came to his house and told my father how Jesus died for his sins, and my father asked Jesus to save him. And then my father and my stepmother would take me to church on Sunday mornings, just a church just like this, except I remember the building. It was a beautiful building with stained glass windows, and you wouldn't recognize this, but it was built, the walls were built out of poured cement. And they were tall. I mean, the ceiling in that church was, I'm going to say, twice as tall as this ceiling. And the walls were poured cement. They don't build that way anymore. But they used to pour the cement. They'd put the rebar in it, and they'd have the holes for the windows. It was really a pretty old church. Cold in the winter, hot in the summer. And wooden pews with no padding. Be thankful for padded chairs. Amen. And none of that really matters. What's important is they preach the Bible. There was a man that started that church, and then he gave it to a man whose name was Billy Bingham. Billy Bingham was the preacher there when my dad got saved, and then he was replaced by a man named John Ward, And John Ward was the one that preached when I got saved. And God sent those men to that little town in New Mexico, to that little church, so that a guy like me could hear the gospel and get saved. Say, Pastor, why are we here today? Well, in my case, and a lot of us, because God sent us here so we could get the gospel out. Amen? That's what it's all about. I love the song. It just explains it really well. The Bible says the preaching of the cross, that's the cross of Christ, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and what happens here at the beginning. It's pretty straightforward. It says in chapter 10 in verse 1, he called unto him his 12 disciples and he gave them power. And then it describes what they could do. Now, I do not have the kind of power that they had. If you meet somebody that says they can heal, here's my recommendation. Get them in your car, take them to the nearest hospital, and go to work. You hear me? Just go from room to room and heal them all. Somebody says, I can heal. Let's go. I'll drive. I'll buy lunch when we're done. Amen? We're going to the hospital. We're going to empty that place out. Oh, I can't do that. Wait a minute. You said you could heal. You think you meet somebody that says they can raise the dead. Jesus rose, could raise the dead. Paul did too. We heard about that in Sunday school. If you meet somebody that can raise the dead, great. Get in the car. I know a cemetery. Here we go. Folks, God doesn't do things the same way now as he did things when the apostles were here, but he does one thing. We are not powerless. Our power is in the Word of God. The Word of God is quick, and the Bible says powerful. How powerful is it? It is powerful enough to determine whether you go to heaven or you go to hell. But here's what's interesting. Just like these men, the power is made available to the people that desire it. Now, Jesus sent the 12 into the nation of Israel, and he said to them, and you can see the message right here, he says to them in verse 7, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he says in verse 8, heal the sick. And then he says in verse 12, when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Here's what I wanted to see, verse 14. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. In other words, I'm done with you. You know, you just shake the dust off and you go to the next city. There were people, think about this, there were people in Jesus' day when the disciples were going around preaching that didn't get healed. Why? They wouldn't believe. They did not want what Jesus said. They did not want what his disciples said. It's the same way today, isn't it? You know, sometimes we wish it was different. I wished in my own flesh that every time I go to a house and give them the gospel, they get saved, but it doesn't work that way. But that's not because this book doesn't have power. I wish that every sinner that heard the words in this book would change and live according to it. But I know better. They could. It breaks my heart. I see pictures on social media of Christians doing things that Christians aren't supposed to do. Now, you say, well, Pastor, that's none of your business. No, it really isn't. That's true. It's God's business. But listen to me. When you came to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, do you just want a fire escape from hell, or do you want him in your life? Amen? And if you're chasing the world and the world's entertainment and the world's substances and all the things the world has to offer, the Bible says if you love the world, you don't love God. I'm going to make this quick this morning. I've got 15 minutes, but let's see if we can make it as valuable as we can. I want to show you some things about disciples. Now, the word disciple comes from the word discipline. It also comes from a word that means to be taught. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he saves you, if you're saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. That does not mean that you can speak 13 languages instantly. Again, if you know somebody that can speak tongues, send them to me. Because we can go to some people whose language I can't speak and give them the gospel. We could hop on a plane and go from country to country. Russia, China, speak Chinese today, speak Russian tomorrow. That's all. They can babble, but they can't speak languages. In the Bible, tongues were languages. But when you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean you're going to babble in some language you don't know. That's of no use to anybody. It's going to change your life for the better. It's going to change your life in a godly direction. And what does that mean? Well, instantly I'll be perfect, Pastor. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works at all. Fact of the matter is, I got saved when I was maybe 12 years old. That was 50 years ago. God's still got a lot of work to do on this project. This project ain't done yet. Amen. He's going to be working. What do you mean, amen, brother? Come on. Okay, amen. No, we know. But one of these days, going to be a good result. Amen? When you step into eternity, the project is going to get finished. Meanwhile, he's working on us. So here's what happens here. Let's just look at a couple of things. He gave them power, it says in verse 1. I just want you to know something. If you are willing to go, and I'll explain that for you. If you're willing to go on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, he does not send you without power. And that doesn't mean you can go out and cast out demons and heal the sick. Again, I already talked about that. If you think you can do that, let me know. We got some projects to give you. But this book's powerful. I don't have a lot of power. But when I talk about this book, it's got power. Amen. And when people hear this book, it's got power. And that's all you need. You know how powerful this book is? Let me tell you how powerful this book is. I'll try and be quick. There was a man that died and went to hell. And true story, it's in Luke chapter 16. And in hell, he was worried about his five brothers. He didn't want them to go to hell because he found out how bad hell really is. That he was so tormented that he just wished somebody would dip their finger in water and touch his tongue. I've been thirsty, but I've never have thought that one drop of water would make me happy. I want the whole jug, right? But this fellow said, if somebody would just dip their finger in water and touch my tongue, that would be tremendous. That would be more than I could ask for. But he said, more than that, please send somebody to my five brothers so that they won't come to this place of torment. And he was talking to Abraham, who was, I won't get into the details, but anyway, he was talking to Abraham. Abraham said this. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Bible. And the rich man said, no, no, no. If you'd send somebody, and he was thinking of a man that had died named Lazarus, if you'd send him back and they could see that miracle that somebody rose from the dead, they'd get saved. And Abraham said, no, they won't. If they won't listen to the Bible, even if they saw a miracle like that, it wouldn't change their mind. Amen. Folks, this is as good as it gets. Now, I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions. You don't have to answer out loud, but think about this. How much time do you spend reading this book? Amen? Say, Pastor, I don't understand it. I don't understand all of it. I understand some of it. Amen? I don't always know what it means, but God shows me some things sometimes. And a lot of us here have been studying this book for decades, and we can help you understand it better. But God wants to talk to you. I can just drop my Bible open to the Psalms and I can begin reading. And it tells me things I understand. You can too. Read your Bible, amen? It's the Word of God. It's got power. How powerful is it? If you will believe it, it'll save your soul. Amen. That's pretty powerful. If you'll believe it, it'll change your life. It'll keep you out of hell. If you'll believe it, it will give you purpose. It's a powerful book. Now, just a couple of more little things here. Let me show you if we could. Back in Matthew chapter 10, if you would, please. I'm not going to read this list of names to you again, but in chapter 10 in verses 2 and 3, it names these men, and they're called apostles. Simon, who's called Peter, he's the first one, and it names each of them. And each of these men's individual names is recognized. And for each one of those people, Jesus had called them. He had gone to them and said, follow me. He told some of them, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And he called some of them when he called them, they just dropped what they had and they followed him. Some of them were fishermen. They left their boat, they left their net, and they followed Jesus. I wish more people had that kind of faith today. Amen? But I want you to know something. God doesn't just know these 12 names. He knows your name. He knows my name. There's a song. It's not the best tune, but that's what the words of the song say. He knows my name. In fact, Bronson sang it at Fine Arts, I think, didn't you? Yeah, amen. He knows my name. He knows your name. He knows every thought that ever goes through your mind. He knows every deed your hands commit. He knows every sin. He knows how much you love people. He knows what you think about him. Amen. Nothing is hidden from God. That's kind of scary. But you know, some people have got God figured the wrong way. Some people think God's out to get you. Well, you know, God knows all these bad things about me, so surely he wouldn't do anything for me. No, the Bible says this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. You think of the most wicked person you can, the mass murderer, the person that has done horrible things to children. I don't even like to think about it. Christ died to pay for those sins. Say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I know what Christ did to pay for what you've done. Amen? Amen? He can change your life. People here can tell you that story. He knows who you are. He knew these men. He gave them a very specific job. Let's just look at one more thing real quick and we'll finish up. So he says to them, he says in I'm going to show you two things. I'm sorry. I just got it real quick. Okay. He says in verse 5, it says, he sent them forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Just real quick. Doesn't just matter that God knows who you are. God's got a place for you somewhere he wants you to be. Amen. I hope you're in the place where God wants you. Amen? God's got a place for you. It's a good place. It's a place where you can serve him. In this case, it's called a local church. Say, Pastor, why do I need to be a member of a church? I got a question for you. Why not be a member of a church? What's wrong with being a part of God's people? So, Pastor, that might mean that something's expected of me. It's not my expectation, it's God's expectation. Amen? And yeah, God does expect some things from us, and he has a right to. He created us. Amen? Well, what if it takes some of my time? Well, it would take some of your time, but it would be very valuable time because God will reward you for that time. Amen. And as you serve him, you're showing how much you love him. Someone says, I haven't got time to serve God. That means you don't love God. We make time for the things that are important to us, don't we? Amen. Someone says, I'm so busy, Pastor, I just don't have time. And I'm not against this, but they go fishing 3 or 4 hours a week. I love fishing. I haven't been in a while. But I don't love fishing so much that I would do it instead of going to church. Amen? I mean, God has a right to have part of our life. In fact, he has a right to have all of our life. So he had a place for these people. And then here's the purpose. And I'm going to be redundant, but I'm going to be quick. Look at verse 7. As ye go, preach. Don't let that word scare you too much. I'll talk about that in a minute. Preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I'm going to stop right there. We go back into the miracles to prove the message, but we talked about that already. He says, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We don't use that phrase quite so much anymore, but the phrase at hand means it's right here. It's real close. Literally, the Lord Jesus Christ was among them, wasn't he? Now, when Jesus was among them, the whole nation just received him and followed him and worshiped him, and everything was wonderful, right? No, they crucified him. They crucified him because they did not want what he had to offer them. They did not want his leadership. They said, we will not have this man to rule over us. But they could have. Do you know what happened if you don't study the history of Israel? We know from our calendar the Lord Jesus Christ was born, I'll just use the technical term, in about zero, the year zero. He was crucified in about 33. In 70 AD, 27 years later, the Romans leveled Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. They killed all the priests. They took the people, slaves, captive back to Rome. He, the Roman general, destroyed the place. His name was Titus, I believe. And there was nothing left. The people thought, we don't need Jesus. We're going to trust in Rome. Rome will take good care of us. Yeah, Rome took care of them, all right. Some people will say, I don't want Jesus telling me what to do in my life. I'm doing just fine like I am. I want you to know something. You got two choices in the Bible. You can serve the Lord or you can serve the devil. Well, I'd never serve the devil, Pastor. You watch. And let me tell you something. He's going to destroy you. Oh, I'm doing just fine. Well, that's what the fellow said that jumped out of the skyscraper when he passed the 30th floor, right? I'm doing fine so far. But there's an end to be had. There is a bad end to be had for someone that won't let Jesus have their life. We have five candidates for baptism today. And what they're saying is they want to live in Christ. Amen? Amen? Now, I'm done. Just let me explain things real quickly for you, okay? Why would Jesus send 12 apostles all around Israel? Was it for their sake? No. It was good for them, but that's not why he sent them. He sent them because the people were suffering, and he wanted the people to be healed, to be delivered, to hear the truth and accept it. The same reason he sends someone to you to tell you the truth. Amen? But it's what you do with it is your decision. Jesus died to pay for your sins, and the Bible says this: God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's a word that we don't understand all that well, but I can explain it to you pretty simple. You're walking along in your life, and you got a direction, and it's a direction which is not towards God. It more has to do with sin. You know, I get drunk every now and then, and I do this every now and then, I do that every now and then, and I'm just kind of trying to find a way to be happy, and I'm looking for I want to make more money, and I'm looking, I want retirement, and this is, I'm going, and a little bit of immorality, and we just dabble in sin, we play with sin, we get into sin, and Jesus is right over there saying, why don't you come to me? He said, in fact, he says this. He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'm old enough, I've seen enough people. Here's what happens. The further they go away from him, the worse their life gets. I've been to nursing homes. I've heard people in nursing homes describe to me how their life is over. I've met a man one time in a nursing home that had been an anesthesiologist, and he had a big framed license on his wall in the nursing home. Licensed anesthesiologist, had his name on it. In that little room, he had that license, a bed, a nightstand, a table. It was about it. He's laying in the bed. He's bedridden. His life is over. And I would go in there and I'd visit him and he'd say, you know, I used to be an anesthesiologist. But what's left? Death. You make the best of your life that you can. You know how it's going to end? Death. You know what people that serve God have to look forward to? The Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. Amen? You know, I can walk through my life and I can serve the Lord. We're walking this way towards Him. And one day I'm going to get there. Amen. Which way are you walking? Say, Pastor, I really don't walk towards Jesus. I'm walking the way I want to walk. You know what the word repent means? Turn around. Say, Pastor, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. I'm not saying you can make yourself perfect, but you can turn around and pay attention to Jesus. Amen? 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 So here's what he said. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. You may not understand all of that. I didn't when I got saved, but I knew this. Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. He promised me if I would call upon him, he would save me. He'd come into my heart and change me. Am I perfect? No way. Am I saved? Oh, you bet I am. It's your choice. Let's all stand and pray.